truth of God's word this morning. And it all has to do, again, with love, intimacy, and relationship. Love, intimacy, and relationship. That's why God sent Jesus. Yes, to forgive us of our sins. Yes, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he wants a relationship with us. That's why we were created. If all he wanted was praise and worship, he created the angels. They sing. Amen. But he doesn't have a relationship with them. And that's what he wants. And the reason for the relationship is that God has power that he wants to give us, but he cannot trust it or entrust that power to us if we don't know him. And the hard thing about this, trying to get it all straight in your mind, is that I know my heart. Well, so does God. And he knows it in a greater way than you do. Amen? So we there's some things that we need to start doing and pushing in, pressing in to that relationship with him through Christ Jesus. You see, there's a season we're in right now where God's glory is going to be revealed in this world. I mean, there's no question about that. And right now, God is looking at the church because that's where the glory is going to be seen. Because God's children will be able to walk in the glory in this world. And yet we need to get prepared for that glory. So part of that getting ready is for us to wake up, repent, rise up, and then begin to declare the glory that's already in you. Declare the glory that's already in you. There's a principle that has been the foundation of this church ever since it began. Huh? Oh, her class, go. Yeah, all of the kids go. Nobody was waving at me, but thank you for yours. But you needed to hear that, didn't you? All right. Praise God. Well, we got a slew of kids here today. Amen. But talking about the foundation of this church, we were founded on Psalm 96, verse 3. Declare his nation among his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples. That's quite an assignment for us to accomplish and fulfill in this season that we're living in right now. And so God's principle is our purpose. God's principle is our purpose. So if that's true, why aren't we declaring his glory? I mean, he gave us that. That's the foundation of our church, but yet we're not declaring his glory the way that we should be. A few do, but the majority doesn't. And, you know, I don't want us to feel, under condemnation or anything in this church, because most churches are that way too. And so it's something that we need to look at and figure out what we need to do with it. Now, excuses, oh, we have excuses. You know, we always think of something. You know, we need more teaching, we need more Bible studies, and, you know, we need more education, and But yet you create these things, and you know, after a week or two or a month or two, well, nobody attends. And so programs are not the answer. The answer is a relationship with Jesus, an intimate, daily relationship with Him. Now, the church itself, you know, was created right after Jesus left to go into heaven. And yet the bride of Christ still has not made herself ready. That's one of the things He told the church, you know, that the bride was to make herself ready. So, guess what we need to do? Make ourselves ready. Amen? And who's responsible to make us ready? The pastor? No. Jesus said, make yourselves ready. See, that takes a load off of me, but it puts a load back on you. Amen? But what we can do, we can work together and get this done and give Jesus all of the glory. Because ultimately, you and I are going to be held responsible for what we do or what we don't do with God's glory. Now, God already spoke forth His word as to what He's going to do. And I think we need to look at that just to remind us what's coming down the pike. And believe me, it's 2,000 years closer today, and probably over 2,000 in some instances, than it was when prophets spoke these words. Let's look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. Haggai chapter 2, verse 7. I will shake all nations, and the desire and the precious things of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. Now let's look at this prophetic word for a minute. God says He's going to shake all nations. How many nations? All. And then we think, oh yeah, God, go after those over there in Iraq and Iran and, you know, all of those over in that area. And we say, go get them, God. But guess what? God's shaking this nation at the same time. We're not immune to what God is doing in this hour. And so we need to understand that and believe it and start acting upon it in our prayer life. You know, start agreeing with God in all of this. God has a purpose for this nation. I am still convinced of that. And this nation has been a nation that has sowed into the churches around the world. And a lot of people have come to know Jesus through missionaries out of the churches in the United States. So it's, you know, we've done some things, but it's not time to sit down and do nothing. Let's look at another one, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, and I'm going to read just about half the verse. We just read it, and the desire of the precious things of all nations shall come in. The desire and the precious things of all nations shall come in. So what's he talking about? Well, let me tell you, before I tell you what he's talking about, if you're studying your Bible or you're in your Bible reading it or whatever and you run across something you don't understand, that's the place where you need to stop and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you talking about? And if you'll spend the time there, He'll begin to show you what He's talking about. We are not to be ignorant of God's Word. God wrote it. And He's made sure that it's been published throughout the earth. And He's ready and able and willing to share with us what it means. So we need to do that. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60 and see what he's talking about. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 5. He says, "And then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you." Now let's read this in the Amplified Version. It's a little bit better in explanation. "Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance, and be enlarged, because the abundant wealth of the sea shall be turned to you. Unto you shall the nations come with their treasures." Now God is going to fulfill this promise to his children. And who are his children? We're supposed to be. But he's fulfilling it to those who have that relationship with him. He says, "The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous," in the Word of God. And God is going to deliver that wealth to his children in this time of shaking. Now that sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? But God is true to his word. Our economy is going to change, and it may change for the worse before it gets better. But it will be a godly change that's going to not only affect this nation, but it's going to affect the economy of this world. We had a taste of it back in 2007, and it recovered and has been doing fairly well. But now it's getting shaky again. And so that just proves to me that God's fixing to do something again. So we need to hide and listen to him the whole time that this thing is going on. Now, God also said or spoke through Haggai. He says, I'm going to fill this house with splendor. I'm going to fill this house with splendor. What is God's house? Where is his house? Well, it's the place where God abides, wouldn't you think? So where does God abide? In our hearts. And that's the God you need to be serious with. Right now, our hearts are already filled with the glory of God. I said that a few minutes ago. We're filled with it. But we have not released the glory. And the reason it hasn't been released is because we haven't learned from God how to release it and what it's going to do when we release it. And that's what it's all about. God wants us to understand what's coming when he begins to release that glory. Now, we have the command, we have the place to stand already prophesied in this same chapter of Isaiah. So let's look up at verse 1, Isaiah 60, verse 1. And he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Arise, shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Then let's look at it in the Amplified. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Circumstances have kept you. In other words, rise to new life and shine. Be radiant with the glory of God, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That means you and you and you, all of us. His glory has risen upon us. Now, do you realize that God wants to reveal His glory through you as His children? What other purpose would He want to release it into this earth if it wasn't through His kids? Because it's His kids that are going to bring in the people of this earth in a tremendous harvest. And this harvest is before Jesus comes. So we got a lot of work ahead of us, but we need to make a commitment to Him in order to be present during that work, which could start today in your life. And that's how we're going to declare His glory among the nations and His wonders among the people. And you see, it's not only the nations and the people that actually are going to see this glory, but they'll see the power of that glory. The power of that glory manifested in signs and wonders and miracles. People in this world are going to see the Shekinah glory. Anybody in here seen it yet? But it's coming. And it's going to be coming out of you. Now, right now is the time for all of us to receive from God His word. Believe it, trust it, put it in our hearts. And then for us to arise, shine out of our place of intimacy with God. Out of our place of being sold out to God. And then out of His kingdom to shine forth into this world so people will see the goodness and the glory of God. God is he uses farming principles, but I call Him a harvester. That's the part He's really interested in, is in the harvest. And He's even planned a huge harvest for the end of the age. And when God began to think about this and then began to put it, prophesy, I guess you could call it, because it came from Him, He spoke out what was in His heart. And what He spoke out was that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that was the beginning of the harvest. God spoke it forth. And now the harvest is coming. God laid the principle down, whatever you speak out is going to return to you. Whatever you give is going to come back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so God is ready, and it's up to us now to be ready. Not just for the harvest itself, but for the return of Jesus. Now, especially this week, but you need to look around and see that it's even darker now than it has been all over this world. I mean, we are moving into a season of darkness. And I'm not talking about, where things are going to get so cloudy or whatever that you can't see. But it's the saturation of the enemy that's being released into this world. And we are the ones that are going to fight against it. We're the ones that are going to stand up against it. And looks like we're right on the doorstep of stepping into that time. And so there's a lot that we need to do as a church. Because you see, a time when God begins to do a work of shaking, then yes, it's going to affect the world, but I tell you what, it's going to affect my life and your life at the same time. So you better know God. not just know about him, but know God. Have that intimate relationship with him on a day-to-day basis. Because when things come your way, if you know him, you're going to be lifted out of it. Okay? Isaiah 60 verses 2 and 3 says, "For behold, darkness." Remember, this is a prophetic word. It's not talking about in Isaiah's day, but this is prophetic. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness over all people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Isn't that powerful? That's how God wants to use you in this time. But you got to be ready. Now, there's nowhere in Scripture where it says that the church is going to leave this earth all wounded, defeated, dirty, and in great shame. That's not going to happen. But God has called the church to cleanse herself. Everything that we need to cleanse ourselves as a church, God has provided. We just need to take it, get busy cleaning this up, and be ready and watching. Be ready and watching. And we're talking about the bride of Christ here. We're not talking about just some building in Eagle Pass that sits on a highway with a sign on it. We're talking about people that have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And Jesus is not going to marry a dirty bride. His bride is going to be clean. She's going to be dressed in white. She's going to be beautiful. She's going to be powerful. She's going to be an overcomer. Scripture says even more than a conqueror. That's what the bride is going to look like. And we're going to influence this world and have a great impact on this world before we're taken out. Okay? So again, it's time to get ready. We, the children of God, River of Life Church, we're going to display and demonstrate the presence and the power of God's glory all over this border area and even into Mexico, Africa, and other parts of the world. That was prophesied to this church back in 2004, 11 years ago. And we haven't got there yet, but it's coming. Amen? So when it comes to shaking, God doesn't just want to shake governments or organizations or ministries or any other infrastructure. God wants to shake you. He wants to shake you to bring about the fullness of your destiny. What is your destiny? Life in Christ. Life in Christ here. And life in Christ in eternity. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be a history maker. Every one of you, God's got a plan for that's going to make history in this earth. And you're getting ready for it. Now the Holy Spirit wants to release inside of you some things. I think, as far as I can remember, I think I've only talked about this one time, but let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah talks about something called the sevenfold spirit. The sevenfold spirit. So let's read verse 2 out of Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is what God wants to work into our lives. And it's time for us to begin to cry out in the midst of our intimacy with him for this kind of power that comes from the Spirit of God, so that we can be like the temple that Haggai prophesied, filled with the glory of God. Filled with the glory of God. God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. If we make his presence our passion and our purpose and our hearts, then we can be steadfast and unshaken in the times that lie ahead. And you know, maybe some of you think, well, I wish you'd preach on love. I am preaching on the greatest love that has ever been. And it comes from the heart of God. God knows what's going to happen, and he's doing everything possible to make sure that you make it through it. And if that's not love, I don't know what it is. You see, it's staying close to him that we're going to truly learn about love and how to love. But if you move away from him, then you're going to lose something huge out of your life. So it's time to line up our will with God's will. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And then just start receiving from God, doing what God says as you move along. And you're going to see some great things begin to happen in your life. Just like Mike was talking about during the welcome. You know, we need to learn to be with God every moment of the day. I mean, you've had some bad days, but if he's there and you're trusting and dependent on him, he's going to be there to help you through it. And yet we've had a hard time learning that that's true. So why don't you test God this week? Everything that you are going to be doing every day this week, you see it's going to be difficult, ask God to help you. Ask God to show you how to do whatever. And you're going to see God moving in your life. Now, I want us to pray together this morning. And the reason I want to pray is because no matter what happens, you and I can remain confident and we can remain calm, knowing that our God is an awesome God. Amen? So let's stand together this morning. What I'm going to do is pray a prayer. And then I'm going to come back and you and I are going to pray one together. Okay? Father, we stand before you this morning in awe of our Father, in awe of our God. And Father, as I look back through history, preachers have been preaching on end times for over 2,000 years. But Father, I believe we have something today that they never experienced back in those days. And that we're seeing the reality of the words of Jesus come into our presence every day. We're seeing increase in areas of earthquakes and destruction around the world. Father, we see increases of people just going nuts in killing people. In so many countries around the world, Father. Father, we do see darkness that is falling all around us. But Father, we refuse to loose and give the enemy our light. Lord, we're going to use the light of your glory to shine through every work of darkness that comes near us. And Lord, we are going to maintain our relationship in you. And our trust and our dependence is going to be on you, Lord. And so we thank you this morning for all that you're going to do. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I want to be a history maker. Shake everything that can be shaken in me. I don't want a religious routine, but I want the high adventures of being a radical forerunner who will gladly give up all for you. Show me your glory. Fill me with your glory in such a way that I can touch this world for Jesus. I want to see the light in me break forth into this world around me. Thank you, Father. And I make a choice that I'm going to get close to you from this day forward, and I will never move away. Thank you, Father, that you are my protector. You are my shield. You are my fortress. And it's in you that I abide. Thank you, Lord. I give the Lord a praise.